Hi, and welcome back. I'm Simi Lerner, and this is the Judaism From Within podcast, the podcast where we go through the works and the thinking of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, a 19th century Jewish thinker. I apologize that the episodes haven't been coming out as consistently as I would like, but over the summer, I want to give a good crack at it, getting at least one out a week, and we'll see how that goes. The mitzvah we're dealing with today is the environment, the importance of your environment, the relationship you have with your environment, and how you shape your environment and your environment shapes you, like an ecosystem. The object within the ecosystem is shaped by the ecosystem, but the object itself, or the subject itself that is within the ecosystem, shapes the environment as well. And you have this sort of symbiotic relationship with your environment. Putting that abstraction that's grounded in something meaningful, your family. Your family is an environment, and there are people in your family that can influence you to the positive or the negative, but you also shape them because they engage with you. So you shape your environment and you are shaped by your environment. And the positive call of the Torah is to be in a good environment that you are able to shape towards the positive. But the warning is to be wary of a dangerous environment, an environment that shapes you and pulls you or drags you down in a direction you don't want to go. And this goes under the category of mitzvah. Now, it's a strange category, which I will constantly remind us, because the category for Rav Hirsch splits the commandments into the Torah into six categories. And within those six categories, we have the mission of the Jew lived out. And when we go through these six categories, be it the Torahs, the philosophical principles that are supposed to be lived out in action, the Eidos, the symbolic commandments, Shabbos, Matzah, the symbols that we live that illustrate truths within Judaism, that we express in drama, Mishpotim, actions of justice towards another human being, Chukim, those laws of justice, yes, not meaningless, but justice, that we don't have all the access to all the principles, but Rav Hirsch speculates on potential reasons for the chukim based off his understanding of Judaism, why milk and meat stands against the moral goal of the Torah, why shatness is a problem, why harming yourself is a problem where no injustice to anyone else is being lived out, but at the same time, a statute that lives justice out in our lives. We are now onto the next, I suppose, broad concept. We've dealt with justice, but now we're dealing with love, the other key idea within the Jewish worldview. How is love lived out to yourself, to others, to the world? This precept of love that is called, you are called upon to act out because you are in relationship with God. Rav Hirsch points out that when it comes to love, it is something that is acted out not because of any demand that someone else has on you. We spoke about honoring your parents. We spoke about respect for the elderly, respect for wisdom, amongst others, and we're going to go through more. Now we're talking about the environment. That means love you express towards other people by the environment you shape, but also who you become is also under this framework. Who do you become and who do you interact with? Who has the potential to drag you down and your responsibility to stand against that? So let's break this down. The environment that you live in. Now we know when it comes to the environment that your productivity is affected by the environment. We know that. Even philosophically, what you read, what you engage in, or the cultural environment in which you swim in affects you. We know this. We know it about when it comes to emotions. The people we're around, if they drain us, if they have a lacking in their lives and they drain on our energy when we're in their presence. We know it on the level of productivity. We know it on the level of emotions. We know it on the level of philosophy. But Rav Hirsch asks us, in the lens of the Torah, to look at it from the moral standpoint. What is your moral environment? Where are you being dragged from a standpoint of morality? Who are your role models? Who are the people in your life that draw you up, not drag you down? And once again, it sounds cliche, but if we think about it for a moment, we think about it from the point of view of that we have to live a mission, but we think of a mission as being, especially in the modern framework, we look at the mission as being something hyper-individualistic. I have my mission, I have my reason for being, and I'm going to live that out. But we don't pay enough attention to the environment that we're in and how that plays a part on us on a very unconscious level. the models we have in front of us, the friends we have. And Ruth Hirsch really develops the importance of good friends and how good friends develop us positively, have role models in our lives, and how friends can be the type of person who guide us, who see us slipping and call on us to lift us back up. And this metaphor of direction is constantly used. We know it in our own experience. When a person says, I don't like being around people who aren't growing, people who are stagnant, being stuck. This sort of language we use to people and ourselves when we don't feel progress happening, when we don't feel like we're going somewhere. So we spoke about the positive move. You need role models, people in your life that you can project outward, that you can grow towards, people you experience in your life that compel you to move forward, friends on your level who encourage you to grow because they are growing. Thereby, you're in this environment that is growing. If it is the other way around, you'll be swept away. And it's not even that you'll be dragged down, but just the natural tendency is to move against difficult work. And the moral life, a life of mission in relationship to the Torah, is not an easy one. And I think when I was reflecting on this mitzvah, that was the key point. Environment is key because it's not an easy goal. I was thinking in my own experience, times that I was hanging around with certain type of people that made me think about different things that I wanted in my life, that before I met them, before I was hanging around with them, there was a certain materialism that I hadn't found attractive. But then when you hang around with people who are into certain things, want to buy certain things, want to have certain things, you feel that you should also want them, but you don't articulate it. It's sort of this social contagion that you're breathing that air, thereby you think those thoughts. And it's not something you actively consciously do. It just happens because of the environment that you're in. And I think that's the obvious but radical point here, is your environment isn't neutral. There's no such thing as a neutral environment. You are either in an environment that is encouraging growth or an environment that is drawing you away from growth. Rav Hirsch uses the term chirim, and I think that's a good place to end, because chirim is what we put an object in biblical times and in the times of the Talmud. Objects would be put into chirim. It's more of a universal idea that if an object is associated with idolatry, it is separated. And this is a key idea, I think, when it comes to the relationship to the environment and growth. If an object was put into chirim, it meant the object was separated and couldn't derive any benefit from it. But people could also be put into chirim. But putting the people into chirim to one side, because that can be abused, the concept of an object into chirim. When an object is put into chirim, what are we saying? We are saying that there's something about this object that will influence you. It, as an object separate from you, will have an influence on you to your detriment. If that's the case with an object, how much more so with a person who you connect with on an emotional and psychological level? Rav Hirsch points out that that connection to what it means to be human makes you the most susceptible to being dragged down. And if we take this idea, we spoke about the idea of the positive effect you're supposed to have on your environment, the effect the environment has on you, and the reciprocal relationship between the two of them. But I think a really key point that's worth focusing on is that the word chirim itself means a net. It means a net, that which is captured, that which is separated. And the language we actually use when we are possessed, if you will, by an ideology or by an attraction, you're attracted to something. We even use the language, I feel trapped by this temptation. Addictions can be described as nets. So what we have here is the Torah describing that which can exert an influence on you, be it a person or be it an object, in the language of a chirim, of a net, that will trap you. And this we can now make the synthesis between our own metaphor. We spoke about that if you are in a bad environment, you will be dragged down. People, you won't grow. There is no neutral environment. You will always want to either move upwards or you will be swept away. I think the idea we can use here is that if you are not vigilant about your environment, you will be trapped and then dragged down. The idea of the net dragging you to the depths of the sea, I think, is a good image to make. If we are not vigilant about our environment, if we are not vigilant about the people we keep company with, we can get trapped. We can get trapped and dragged down. I know this is a bit of a negative one to end with, but I think it's a key point, because you can ask a person, how often do you sit and reflect, okay, who are my friends? Who are the people I'm hanging out with? Who are the people I'm spending most of my time with? And are they the people who are encouraging growth? Or are they the people I am being influenced or being dragged down by being with them? This doesn't mean you be socially awkward and stop talking to people, but simply asking the question can make you a better person to them as well. You can be a better role model if you reflect on your environment. Not only moving away from bad influences, but you can become a better influence if you realize it is needed in the environment you're in. So let us recap. We spoke about the effect you have on your environment and the effect the environment has on you, and the importance of vigilance. Vigilance being that the environment you are in is not neutral. And the term chayrim, often used as a almost like a throwaway term of people who certain, I suppose, religious leaders might disagree with someone, so they will say, his work is in chayrim, or his that person is in chayrim. It's thrown around in a bit of a, I suppose, not such a serious way. But in essence, what is it saying? It is saying that objects and people can trap you. You can go to a charismatic individual, and Rav Hirsch develops this idea about how the charisma can grab you. You can be in someone's presence, you can hear someone talk, and you can be, wow, I have no idea what they said, but oh my gosh, I am for this. You are being ideologically possessed. You are being ideologically trapped by such a person. The same way when it comes to an object, it has a beacon to you. Because it needs to be put into chayrim, an object of addiction, be it drugs, be it whatever it may be, that grabs you in a way that you feel pulls you. It pulls you. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to flee the city. It might mean you just have to be vigilant. But more than just being vigilant, it might also light up to you how you can be a better role model, how you can focus your skills to improve the environment, so you have that positive effect on the environment, and you change the environment you're in for the better. As always, thank you so much for your time, and have a wonderful week.